Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. John chapter 1 is a breathtaking overview of how Jesus is God's expression to mankind. Jesus shows us what God is like. Today, more of the wonder of a Savior whose words are those of God Himself. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on being changed by the Word. In this, the last of six messages, our focus is on the fact that the Word of God has visited us.
Moses said, "Show me your glory." What Moses evidently was asking for is to see the very essence of God. And God said, "Okay, Moses, you found favor in my sight. I'll show you my glory, but my face you can't see." Now, this is very important because in the previous chapter, it talks about the fact that Moses spoke to God face to face. Clearly, what the text means is this, that there's no contradiction. God is saying, you cannot see my essence. You cannot see me as God, because it says there in the 33rd chapter, no man can see me and live. Nobody has ever seen God as God, but plenty of manifestations. In the Old Testament, God has shown up in different ways, veiled. And even the light, the Shekinah glory, was a manifestation of God. It was not the very essence of God, which no man can see. And Moses says, okay, all right, I want to see more of you. And God says, I'll hide you in a rock, and then I'll let my glory pass by, and you cannot see me directly, but you can catch a glimmer. And Moses was there, and he caught that glimmer. And Moses was there in the tabernacle administering sacrifices and everything else later on. And that's the imagery that's behind here. Now, with that background, let's read this now with new eyes. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He becomes the sanctuary. And we beheld His glory. What John is doing here is having a replacement motif. What he's doing is he is showing that Jesus now is going to replace the whole Old Testament system. And that system was set up for this reason. How can men have fellowship with God without God contaminating himself and compromising his holiness? And now Jesus is going to do it and do it completely. How fortunate we are to live in this era. Now, first of all then, Jesus reveals the presence of God. By the way, Moses said to God, he said, God, how else will we be distinguished among all the other people of the earth if you don't go with us, if it's not your presence? And this is confirmed in the New Testament. How can we as the Moody Church exist without the presence of God? We can't. Without the presence of God, we might as well become a social club. Without the presence of God, we might as well become the arm of a political movement. Without the presence of God, we can expect nothing eternal to happen here. If God is not with us, we're not distinguished from all the other people of the earth. It is God's presence. And now, notice what the text says. We beheld His glory. The glory came to us in Jesus. Oh, it was veiled. That's why we sing at Christmas, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. And Jesus performed a miracle in John chapter 2, and it says that the people saw the miracle, but the disciples saw the glory. They said Jesus manifested His glory to them. At the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus Christ's glory is seen. At the cross, Jesus Christ's glory is seen. In John chapter 12, he says, when I be lifted up, this is the hour in which I'm glorified. David Bryant, who's going to be with us on Saturday, speaks about the cross in this way. The cross was the definitive display of God's sovereignty, and we might add His glory. Because of it, slaves of the fall are liberated. Because of it, Satan's minions are bound. Because of it, death is destroyed. Sin is demolished. Judgment is absorbed and fear is banished. Because of it, all who believe are conquered by grace and transferred into the empire of his Son. That's what happened on the cross. And Jesus was thereby glorified. And you know what it says in John 17? I'm not making this up. You should always make sure that whoever preaches here, that he's not making stuff up. Now, if he is, he ought to tell you that he is. The Bible says this in John 17. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them." And he's talking about the disciples, and he's talking about us. Jesus replaces the glory of the Old Testament, which was localized, that Shekinah glory. And now, because he's in heaven as our high priest, he is giving that glory and sharing that glory, as we shall ultimately understand it, in his blessed presence. There we shall see the glory of God to the extent that human beings can. So Jesus, you'll notice in the text, he replaces the glory of God. We saw his glory. He also replaces the sacrifices, doesn't he? The Old Testament, there was no end to these sacrifices. The priests had to stand in shifts, 8 hours a day, three shifts, and continually. Why? Because there was no permanent sacrifice for sin, and God wanted to illustrate that. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for all time, sat down on the right hand of God. Why could he sit? Because it was all finished. It was all completed thanks to his perfect work. And that's why we don't offer sacrifices anymore. We don't come, you know, with our animals to be sacrificed, because Jesus is our sacrifice. Later on in John chapter 2, he's going to say, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." And the Jews are saying, "Hey, look at this big temple that Herod built us. You're going to destroy it and raise it up in 3 days?" But then John adds, but he was talking about the temple of his body. He is now the temple. He is the sacrifice. He also is the place of worship. We now come to him, and we worship in spirit and in truth, no longer having to go to Jerusalem in the temple, no longer having to go to a place of worship, though we thank God for those places of worship, and many of you are in one right now. We thank God for that, but we don't have to go there, so to speak. Why? Jesus said, from now on, you can worship in spirit and in truth anywhere. As he was speaking to the woman at the well who thought that they had to worship, the Samaritans worshiped in Mount Gerizim, but Jesus said, anywhere. Because Jesus Christ has come. So he reveals the presence of God. He also reveals the person of God. You'll notice it says, verse 16, "And from his fullness we all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth comes by Jesus." Oh, how tempted I am to camp there for a while to discuss grace and truth. But the beautiful blend of both. Today in some churches, there's so much grace, you'd get the impression that God was never mad at anything, that everything was okay with him. The balance between grace and truth comes to us in Jesus. And then notice also the very person of God is revealed. No one has ever seen God. As I explained, no one has ever seen the essence of God as God. But the only begotten God, or the only begotten Son, who is at the Father's side, he has explained him. Jesus explained God. The words of Jesus are the words of God. The acts of Jesus are the acts of God. Finally, the invisible God, the mysterious invisible God, comes to us visibly in Jesus, so that Jesus can say, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Wow, takes your breath away. Whoever has seen him has seen the Father. And Jesus takes us into God's presence. Now, I promised you that this sermon could be transforming. I hope it is. It is to me, and I hope it is also to you as a reminder of what we have in Christ. But what I'd like to do is to nail this down for us so that we understand its implications. And I nail it down, first of all, by saying that our greatest need is always a fresh vision of God. Maybe you came here and you thought something else was your greatest need. You thought your greatest need was your crumbling marriage. It was all kinds of other things that may have happened, and those may be needs, but your greatest need is always a fresh vision of God, a fresh vision of Jesus. I marvel at Moses. You know, in Exodus 33, when he said, "Show me thy glory," I read the text and I say, "Moses, come on. You've been in the mountain, up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights with God. And you still don't have enough?" I mean, there are people who think they have enough if they go to church once a week. And you've been up there with 40 days and 40 nights, and Moses said, "I still don't have enough. Before I move, I need another revelation of God." It's always our greatest need. And then the interesting thing is, you know that Moses can't go into the land. You know that story because of his disobedience. But he shows up in the land on the Mount of Transfiguration. And what in the world, and it is in the world, some of us are going to be at the Mount of Transfiguration in a couple of weeks. What in the world is he doing? He's getting more of the glory of God. He just can't get enough. You think that heaven is going to be boring? We're going to begin at the first song in the hymnal, sing our way through, and then when we're done, we re-sing it again? Is that your view of heaven? Some of you are being too quiet here today. Are you listening? You with me? I'll tell you, heaven is going to be getting more of God throughout all eternity. That's what it's going to be. You know, my friend, recently I've been spending time contemplating God. I've been thinking about his immensity, his eternity, the fact that he knows all things, those attributes. And I have to tell you that no matter how long we think about these things, at some point we just lose it and we say we can't get our minds around it. That's why Jonathan Edwards says that in heaven, the ideas of God are going to go on for all eternity. But while we are here on earth, our responsibility is to live for him and realize that nothing else matters except him and his glory. And we see it all in Jesus.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Word of God Has Visited Us. His final message in a series on being changed by the Word. Next time on Running to Win, some final thoughts on the Incarnation, God coming to live as man. This 6-part series on Changed by the Word can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.